Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And as I had said on the show, when we got on the air on Friday night, I said to Bud and to Robert, it seems like we're always here. And, you know.
Yeah, well, it's been 2 days. It still seems that way.
Robert, what's it feel like to you?
Yeah, it still feels like I've been here.
Me too.
I can't even feature that. I don't know what it means.
It's just either you get it or you don't, Bud. The fact is that there is a feeling that I have, kind of like that Black Eyed Peas song, I Got a Feeling, you know, or...
Well, like the Beatles song.
Or like the Beatles song, I've Got a Feeling Way Down Deep Inside. I don't know.
Larry?
I'm just saying it's a sense you get when you work somewhere that sometimes it feels like I never went home. I've been here for the longest time, and if you don't understand, Bud, it's perfectly fine. It doesn't make you less a man, you know.
Yeah, but I think that meant you less a man. I think you guys are squirrelier than can be.
Oh, yeah, right. You think I'm squirrely?
And I didn't say you.
Well, okay, let's not take it personal, all right? Just because I got a different opinion from you.
Both you guys do.
All right, then we're both squirrely, and you're fine. Welcome to our show, folks. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, each and every night here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Vernon Dozier is going to weigh in later on in the program, and we'd like to thank X-Angel as well. Vernon and X-Angel were in touch, and Vernon is going to join us. As you know, the high school football season, among all of the football seasons that are in play, the high school season is in play. But the National Football League rolled out some uniforms this past weekend that are eye-openers. They look to be a design intended to keep the player cool. That's what I am seeing. I don't think there's any kind of a cheeky or prurient intent. I mean, in other words, they're these kind of mesh see-through pants, you know?
I don't like them, man.
I don't either. Why do you have to look? What is the purpose of wanting to see a guy's... Why?
You don't want to see the guy's ass. Is that what you're trying to say, Bud?
Yeah.
That's not the purpose. If you look, you can see, folks. And if you're looking at Phil TV in HD, I will show you a picture of these. There's a picture of it, and there is a player for the Detroit Lions, Backus. I wanted to say Jim Backus. That was the guy that was Jeff Backus.
Yeah, Jim Backus was Mr. Magoo.
Yes, Jim Backus was Mr. Magoo. Now, this is Jeff Backus. He's a left tackle of the Detroit Lions, and he's wearing these mesh pants, and you can clearly see his jock strap and the bare leg, and, you know.
Yeah, there's his buttock.
What do you call it, buttock?
His ass, okay? But you can't see that. It's almost like a samurai thing. You know, it's almost like...
Like a diaper.
Like a diaper, yeah. So, anyway, we'll talk with Vernon about that. Our number is 877-876-7445. On the line with me is Bobby Dooley. Steve Dooley is also with us. Oh, by the way, one more thing I wanted to mention to you guys is that we do have, beginning tomorrow, Milwaukee Lions, just was talking about the Detroit Lions there, the Milwaukee Lions are on our site. Their download is available. They had a game against the D.C. Federal Brigade. We will not give the score because I know that there are people who flip out if I give out the score. We will have on the site tonight the results from today's action in the Hillbilly Football Conference, but the download of the Lions game will be available tomorrow. Bobby Dooley joining us from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. What we're going to be talking about this hour is, and now that the campaigns are over with, we're going to talk about health care and the very real argument about health care, which seems to be at the very core, if you will, it seems to be at the very center of not only the support for President Obama, but also the opposition, or perhaps I should have said it the other way. Not only is it at the very core of the opposition to President Obama, but also at the core of his support. Bobby, how are you this evening?
We're doing good, Phil. Thank you.
And you are a supporter of the president?
Yes, we are.
And a supporter of Obamacare?
Absolutely. Very proudly so.
All right. Give me what you think is well, I think what we would like to hear from you is give us a good thumbnail description of why Obamacare is necessary, is a good thing.
Well, I appreciate that, Phil, because we've been wanting to, we've really wanted a very dry-eyed and a very clear-eyed statement of why Obamacare is, in our opinion, not only is it a preferable, but it is also necessary. And that's what people don't understand about Obamacare. This isn't just a choice of styles. This is not just a choice of what would be a good idea. This has to survive. Otherwise, our country will continue down this ruinous road. Families, especially this middle class that we hear everyone talking so much about, will cease to exist. And the money that we have will continue to be eaten up by these rising health costs, so that pretty soon, Phil, there will be no money left over for anything else.
All right. When we hear people saying that the cost of health care is eating ever increasingly into the budgets of families, what are we talking about?
Well, right now, Phil, we know that every year in the United States, some $3 trillion is spent on health care, on health services, on hospitals, on doctor visits, on equipment, on health equipment and so forth, on in-home care, on inpatient, outpatient. You know, when we talk about health care, we talk about a lot of things, a lot of different things. The Republicans talk about being able to reform this with these fixes that exist only in the fantasies of perhaps some people that actually believe it. I don't even think the people that propose this can believe it's a fix. Tort reform, you know.
Yeah, and being allowed to sell insurance across state lines.
Yes, that. Those things amount, Phil, to tort reform, $150 billion. When you're talking about $3 trillion a year, you're not even approaching the real number. And as far as the insurance, the across state line sale of insurance, again, a drop in the bucket, only a few billion. So if one wonders what is the real reason these people oppose so-called Obamacare or national health care, well, the real reason they oppose it is simply good old-fashioned American, if you want to call it Puritanism. I like to say it's a good old-fashioned American old-fashionedness. To me, we're still in covered wagons when it comes to this kind of thing. We are still in that.
Well, I was mentioning on the air, not to interrupt you, I was mentioning on the air that there is that healthcare as a national plan goes back to Bismarck's years in German government, correct?
Exactly. That is exactly correct. Healthcare is well over 100 years old. Obviously, it has worked so well that it has been adopted across the board in European countries. There really is no argument against it other than the prejudice that typically conservative Americans have.
Now, what do you mean by prejudice, though? Because, you know, prejudice is one of those charged words.
Well, what I mean is, when you say health, national health care, people don't even want to hear the argument. They automatically assume that there is a one-size-fits-all kind of socialism, that this is going to be British-style or Canadian-style socialism. President Obama has made it very clear that you can hold on to your own insurance if you want. You can go to the doctor that you want. But if you opt for the national plan, there are, you know, obviously there will be requirements, but still in all, even if you opt for the national plan, you have some flexibility. I think it's just America's good old-fashioned, puritanical, covered wagon. We don't want anything that's European.
Bobby, I want to, not to interrupt you, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. Go ahead.
You've been on our program talking about a lot of things, most of it having to do with, you know, the Homeowners Association, where you were the president, a lot of it having to do with social events there. I've never heard you weigh in on a national topic of such political importance as healthcare with such a serious feel for this and a serious tone. What is it about this that is of particular interest to you?
Phil, I'm very, very, very intent on seeing national healthcare passed because it's going to mean so much for our country. It'll mean so much for people that can't afford health care, and we can't let a lot of really uninformed people keep us from our national destiny, which is to have national health care, which is to have options, an ability to visit a doctor, an ability to go to the hospital, without any money. If you don't have any money, then that's not going to stop you from...
If someone has absolutely no money under the Obama health care plan, what does it mean?
It means you still are going to be covered by the Obama health care plan. And
but that also means that other taxpayers are picking up the tab, right?
No, not necessarily. It means that the doctors must treat you. It doesn't necessarily mean anything other than even if you don't have any money, you can be treated.
But the taxpayer is going to pick up the cost.
It simply means, Phil, that you will be treated. As far as who's picking up the cost, it is not something we have to talk about right now. I think the most important thing is that you are going to be covered and covered very nicely. Thank you very much.
Hi, Bobby Dooley with the national health care argument as she sees it here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. As I mentioned, Ms. Dooley is generally on our program talking about things more close to home, but this is a national story. It's a national need of some kind of some type of solution. She has one. Many people have others when it comes to national health care. Obamacare, is that the way to go? The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget Vernon Dozier coming up next hour. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here, 877-876-7445. Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley with us as we talk about the advantages of Obamacare. Big supporters of Obamacare here, Mr. and Mrs. Dooley, as well as a great many other Americans. And I think the question of the idea of national health care is not only something you brought up, this thing that it's sort of viewed by a lot of Americans with a prejudiced eye that it's, well, it's just European. But also, it sounds complex.
Well, it may sound complex, Phil. We can figure out, as educated people, we can figure out anything. It's not a difficult thing to figure out. If my husband says, and I agree with Steve to an extent, what is it you say, honey?
Obamacare is going to cover your health. Enough said.
It's going to cover your health. Enough said.
Enough said, but, there is the question, how does it,
Well, yes, how do we pay for it? We pay for it, Phil, simply by doing this. When you have a lot of people paying into a plan, see, I don't think the discussion of health care...
No, wait, go ahead. When you have a lot of people paying into a plan...
Well, what I was going to say is when you have a lot of people paying into something, it makes the expense for everyone less. And when a lot of people are paying into something and the expense is less, then it is absorbed easier, but there's also more money to go around to pay for what you have, what you want to have, I mean.
Yeah, that's in the math. It's all in the math.
Yeah, Steve said it's all in the math, and, it doesn't take a brain surgeon.
Everyone's got enough said.
Everyone gets paid for enough said. Now, the other thing that I think needs to be stated, Phil, is that healthcare is very expensive. What's the alternative?
Let's stay on the description of how it gets paid for. That's what people are worried.
Well, I know people are worried because they've been told a lot of fairy tales. They've been told, they say we tell fairy tales. The conservatives tell fairy tales. They don't even know what they're talking about when they say, this and that. I think the reason why a lot of them are against Obamacare is because they can't figure it out and it scares them.
Well, a lot of people can't figure something else out and it scares them, and that's a very good reason not to support something, because if you apply yourself to understanding something and you find that you can't understand it, it may mean that it's something that isn't understandable, right?
Or, as Steve was saying, and we were talking to Steve's dad today, who worked in the healthcare field for many years, it may mean that people are just not, they don't have the, I don't know, Steve, what did Daddy Chris say?
My dad said it's just not smart enough.
That people are not smart enough to understand it.
Well, that's a kind of a convenient argument against conservatives. They're not smart enough. But that, I don't think, is a correct argument. Obviously, there's plenty of people smart enough to understand it, and to them, the math doesn't make sense.
Well, the math doesn't make sense when you don't believe that you should have to pay any taxes for anything. Of course the math doesn't make sense. If you don't think you should have to pay taxes for anything...
Well, a lot of people don't, you know.
Well, ask them where they'd be if they didn't pay taxes and they wouldn't have roads to drive on, and they... Oh, that's stupid.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. If you don't have roads to drive on, no stop signs for anything that you wouldn't have.
Yeah, that's really stupid. You know, what we're here saying is this. Come on, get over yourselves. Understand that there are taxes for everything. And this is, as the Supreme Court just ruled, this is a tax, just like any other tax, so that we can have hospital care and so on and so forth. And if I can understand it, Phil, and I didn't even graduate from college.
Yeah, that's a good point, Mr. Renner.
What are we saying, sir?
Well, that's a very good point. If my wife didn't graduate college, she understands it.
I don't understand it. If I understand it, I mean, I do understand it. I understand it, Phil, and I didn't even graduate from college. Then what's stopping all of the, you know, what's their problem?
Yeah, what's their problem, you know?
What's the problem of the people that don't understand it? That's my whole point.
All right, 877-876-7445. Now, we had Larry Grover, who was on with us last week. We also have General Galen Shaw. We've got all kinds of conservatives that want to line up on this thing and talk with Bobby and Steve Dooley about health care, national health care, and the ramifications. Let's go over here to Austin, though, in Lancaster, California. Austin, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. And by the way, hold your thought, Austin. We are talking about Obamacare, not just the idea of health care in general, but specifically the Obamacare that we have been very interested in following here, not only the passage of Obamacare, but as well its eventual, the passage of Obamacare, at least large provisions of it by way of the Supreme Court. Go ahead, Austin.
Hey, how you doing, Phil? It's good to be with you.
Good, sir.
Yeah, I wanted to ask this lady, first of all, ma'am, my name is Austin Amarca, and I've been on Mr. Henry's program before.
As we have.
And the, I'm sorry?
As we have.
All right, that's great. I've been on as a guest on...
As we have. That's what I am right now.
Right, okay, so we've got that settled.
Yeah, we've got that settled. I've been on as a guest, too, so what I'm trying to say is I know you're a guest, but I think a guest, there's a double-edged meaning to guest. On the one side of being a guest, you are treated with respect, but on the other side of being a guest, people overlook and purposefully overlook how if you are making mistakes or acting a little silly, and that's what I think is happening here. I think Mr. Henry's purposely overlooking how silly you're acting.
And how are we acting silly?
By talking about how you when Mr. Henry asked you how you going to pay for it, and you said by taxes, and then he said, what about people if they don't have no money? You said, well, you know, they'll come, they'll be treated, and if that's not important, how it's going to get paid for.
No, I didn't say that.
Well, you said something like that, Bobby.
What did I say?
You said that, I think she said that.
Well, you said that when somebody comes in.
No, I'm asking Mr. Henry. I'm not asking you right now.
I know what you said. Go ahead, Bill.
You said that when people show up at the hospital and they have no money, I'd ask you, if they have no money to pay, you said they're still going to be treated by the doctor.
That's right.
And when I said, okay, but how does, you know, how does the doctor get paid?
No, you didn't ask me how the doctor got paid. I volunteered the information. I said that...
You said that it doesn't matter.
No, but I did. I was not asked by Mr. Henry. I volunteered the information. All right?
You might have volunteered it, but you said it doesn't matter.
I said at that moment when someone is bleeding to death or they are bleeding out onto a gurney, it doesn't matter, no.
No, but that was the question that I asked was, how does the doctor... Well, I didn't even ask the question, I guess.
Exactly, that's exactly right.
I'm asking the question right now. How do they get paid?
Well, we're out, Phil, you're out of time, aren't you?
Oh, hold on. Hold on. I'll hold you through, sir.
Why?
No, he's going to hold me through because he said so.
I've answered your question.
No, because he said so.
Because he said so.
Hold on for a minute. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Because I said so.
That's right. He said so.
I answered.
Because he said so.
I answered.
Because he said so. I'm going to keep
Phil
doing it.
Hendry.
What a baby.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back. We have the Dooleys on the line. I'm going to get to Mr. Amarca. Are you there, sir? Mr. Amarca?
Yes, sir, yeah.
We'll get to you in just a second here. Our number, 877-876-7445, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. And as always, very, very happy to have you guys who are watching us on Phil TV in HD. If you get a backstage pass, you have, my goodness, you have access to all of our archived material. You have access to 24/7. You have access to all of the shows that we've done for over 10 years. And I got to tell you, I think that's a pretty decent little package to offer. You also get the archive of our video cast going back 5 days. You get a year's worth of archives of our Saturday night show. And when I finally get with the guys, I think we're going to have them. I talked to Alex and those guys. We're going to definitely get the Daily Show archive up bigger, you know.
Well, why don't you do that?
Yeah, people will ask about it.
Well, right now, man, you know, we have not handled these video archives very well. But nonetheless, like I said, where's the archive of the original? Where's the archive of the original Christmas Carol that I did, you know?
Yeah.
It's gone.
What?
Yeah. I mean, I love my crew, but when they first took over, when we did the site redesign, they didn't know what the hell was going on. So let's get to one of our guests right here now. Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police is going to join us here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Jay, you with us?
Hi, Phil. Jay Sanders. Hold on for just a minute, Phil.
Whenever the laws of any state are broken, a duly authorized organization swings into action. It may be called the state police, state troopers, militia, the rangers, or the highway patrol. These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage have enforced and preserved our state laws.
Wait, hold on, will you?
Hold on, Phil. Hold on. Stop. Phil.
What? Hold on.
I wanted to. Hold on. Can you stop for a minute, Phil?
All right, hold on. What's the problem?
I want to ask you a question, Mr. Henry, if it's all right. I wanted to ask you I heard some hammerhead come on go and talk about it.
I'm sorry?
I said I heard some hammerhead come on, some guy who knows, some guy's brain had a brain injury, and he stepped all over top of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
You mean someone on the phone?
I asked Mr. Henry if I want to be back on. Yeah, I'm sorry, sir. What's your name? What is your name, sir? My name's Jay Santos, sir. I'm with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Well, my name is Austin Amarca, sir. Well, sir, you came on, and you stepped all over a theme song that we on the Citizens Auxiliary Police use when we come on a program. All right, sir, I understand that, but I don't like being called a hammerhead. And
all right, I don't honestly believe that he thought that you... I don't think it was intended personally. I think Jay was just...
Well, the problem is, Phil, we utilize that music, and it's a signature song, although, as you know, Phil, it's probably not used no more. Or anymore, I should say, it's not used anymore on television. At one time, it was a signature song that was used for the Highway Patrol, which was a television show. Now, that's fine and good, and all well and dandy, and everything's just great about that. But we now use it. When we use that, and we come on a program, like yours, and we are asked to comment. No, hammerhead. I don't appreciate being called a hammerhead. Okay,
Mr. Henry, can I just say something?
Go ahead, Bobby.
My husband and I came on this program to talk with you about the healthcare problem. and I have been preempted, you know.
Sorry, Mr. Henry, I agree with this lady. I wanted to talk to her, and so far I've been called a hammerhead, you know, and this. I apologize, sir.
What's that?
I do apologize, sir. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was unnecessary, but I don't think it was meant to you personally.
No, I thought it was, Mr. Marka, is it? I thought it was a commercial or a recording or something like that.
All right, sir.
I apologize, sir. And so I will begin to... I'll just ask you to play that again, Mr. Henry.
I'm sorry. We are here. We were invited on as guests.
Yeah, my wife came on as guest, but...
I'm a guest as well, ma'am, and I'm in the middle of Citizens Auxiliary Police, and tonight we're having our dragnet. This is dragnet night when we do a sweep, and we do a full sweep and spread, and that's what we're trying to do tonight.
I don't know what that is.
We're doing a...
Jay, whatever you're doing tonight, that's fine. You know, we're talking about health care.
That's exactly correct. We're doing a sweep and spread on health care.
What does that mean?
Means it. Mr. Henry's familiar with it. He knows that there's certain kinds of physical, I guess you call them physical symptoms, which indicate certain physical conditions, which may or may not warrant a doctor that endanger the safety of people at this time of year. And, you know, very much has something to do with health care, you know.
All right. I tell you what, let me break the tie here, because Mr. Remarker, we want to talk to you. We do want Ms. Dooley to be able to finish. And we do want Jay to come on and comment. Let's go ahead and we'll play your theme music. I'm not familiar with people coming on radio shows and playing theme music.
You used to do it for us, Mr. Henry.
I did it for you until it became a distraction for a lot of my listeners. And there were other people that would say that... what are you doing, bud?
Not playing. We're wasting time.
Well, I didn't finish talking, okay?
Mr. Henry... If you talk it, now we're going to try to get into a hammerhead deal.
And all right, well, just be quiet. Here's your music.
All right. Tell me to be quiet.
Whenever the laws of any state are broken...
Is this the guy's same music?
...organization springs
please,
into
please
action.
Please be quiet. Please shut
it may be called the state police, state troopers, militia, the rangers...
Or the citizens auxiliary police.
These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage...
Was that what he wanted to do?
...our state laws.
God, where's this lady? Don't you have a husband there, sir?
Hey, I'm her husband.
Just tell it to shut up.
Hey.
What's the problem now?
I was just about ready to go into the interview with you. Everything was good. And I heard another hammer. A hammerhead, I don't know. You know.
Not about my wife?
Did you call me a hammerhead? Is that what you did?
No, I didn't call. I don't know who I'm calling. I heard a voice.
What, are people not allowed to talk during that thing?
I would think, Mr. Henry, that it would be standard operating procedure. You understand. You know,
I don't even understand what you're talking about. It sounds to me as if you suffered some injury to your jaw.
What's that mean?
Because you're... I can't describe it. I really can't.
Yeah. That's what it sounds like to us.
What sounds like to you?
Talking about the way you speak, sir. You speak in a very, very unusual way. It's very difficult to understand.
Sir, I come from western Pennsylvania to a distinctly Pittsburgh accent, although I'm originally from the Maryland area, Baltimore area. And
that's it. You have a Baltimore accent. You always talk about a Pennsylvania accent.
All right, it's a Baltimore accent, but there's also a shared with it's a shared trait with western Pennsylvania, the Allegheny area. You know, question Valley.
Well, I don't know. It's very discomforting to listen to.
Discomforting? Well, there's a 25-cent word right there. Anything that?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Well, I'm not that impressed, and what I'm trying to say is I want to be able to finish what I'm saying about Obamacare without being called a hammerhead. I've had hammer toes. Do you know what hammer toes are?
I'm sorry, ma'am.
That's a good one, buddy.
What's that?
Do you know what hammer toes are?
I do not.
Hammer toes are caused from high heels that are very uncomfortable, and they create a disfiguring of the toes. It's very ugly. It's almost nausea-inducing for a man to see your feet for the first time after you've jammed them into high heels. But do you know something? I would not give up my high heels any more than I would give up, like, our annual trip to Mexico. I would never, ever give that up.
I thought you were going to say, like, your kids or something, but...
I'd say your kid or something.
Yes, or my kid.
But you've got three of them.
Right, all three of them, right.
Yeah, all three of them.
All right, so great. So do you want to finish up on health care, and then, Jay, you can tell us...
Wait, hold on. Whoa, there, sunshine. I was going to come on here. You know, look at, buddy, you got your theme music played. Now get in line.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I do too, Jay.
Oh, that's dirty pool. I come on your program.
You got your theme music played. Now get in line. I think Mr. Remark is right, and Mr. Dooley, I agree with him.
Okay. All right. That's a chip.
Thank you very much, Phil.
Whoa! What about me? I got all kinds of questions. You said you was going to hold me over.
Hold you over what, his knee?
That's a good one, Bobby. Hold you over his knee.
All right, Steve. Is that what's going to happen here?
Ms. Dooley,
Go ahead, lady.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much, Austin.
Yeah, it's not worth it to me. Go ahead.
Thank you. Obamacare will save our country $3 trillion a year. Think about it, Mr. and Mrs. America. Do you think it's worth it to finally get a handle on these out-of-control health care costs? Other countries have been able to get a handle on them, and so we can, too. I know there's a lot more to say, but I wanted to say that, and I also want to say one more thing. I want to say that... It'll save us money, and what else?
And that just, you know, and that's all.
It'll save us money, and that's it, yeah.
I'd like to say something to Ms. Dooley. Ms. Dooley, the European Union, the European Economic Community, right now is dealing with the bankruptcy of, or the potential bankruptcy of a number of its member states. These are all countries that have national health care. Now, what happened to them? What happened to them, you know?
That's a damn good point.
You know, they
I can explain what's happened to them. They have mismanaged their, first of all, they invested in American products and things like that, and exporting, okay? And the market for their exports dried up. It didn't have anything to do with health care. It's ridiculous. Those countries are tied intimately into the world economy. They're tied intimately into the American economy. Do you know how lucky we are that people... depend upon our economy. So if we get our economy under control with health care, we don't have to worry about the stuff what they do.
But that doesn't make any sense, you know. I want to jump in here, ma'am. This is Jay Sanderson, Citizens Auxiliary Police.
So I guess.
All right, well, ma'am, it just so happens that I'm going to be out there and we're doing a spreading check, and...
You're doing a spreading, and yeah.
What, Steve?
What's it called?
It's called a spreading check.
I thought it was called something else.
Well, it probably was, but I forgot, so I just made that up. But a spreading check is this. We are checking people to make sure that they are physically, as far as our understanding goes, we are checking people to make sure they are physically capable of operating a motor vehicle tonight. We have an awful lot of women out there. Who suffer from a condition that causes a certain kind of itching or rash, for instance, elderly women. And I'm not going to do what we did do a number of years ago that did get us in a lot of trouble. We're not going to be doing any invasive check. We're not going to do any invasive search. But if I see any female that is looking to, I'm going to have to say it, scratching her crotch, yes, ma'am. I'm going to have to at least ask that we do a flare drop on that one car. We'll just drop a flare and pull over.
Hey, flare drop.
That when we drop a flare, that means you over, you. Here's a flare. See the flare? You, here. I point at the driver, and I point to any area next to the road. They'll get it. Don't worry.
Okay, a flare drop, individual flare drops, Mr. Santos, and they're doing some kind of a safety check on physical conditions that may affect how people drive. All of this tied into national health care. Our country can't afford it, according to Bobby and Steve Dooley. We're just too, well, covered wagon to know what's good for us. 877-876-7445. What happened to Mr. Remarka?
Well, it might still want to be on there.
That poor man has been, he has been waiting patiently. I haven't heard a thing from him. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
the things they wanted to do, and that's what I'm talking about.
All right, Bobby and Steve Dooley with us. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is with us. We also have on the line Vernon Dozier. Excuse me, we have Austin Amarca. Mr. Amarca, you had a couple of comments?
Yes, sir. I wanted to say, first of all, that the lady is talking about the Obamacare, and I don't think she understands I don't think she understands exactly how that works, because what I've been told and what a lot of people say. I'm sorry, Phil.
Yeah, could you turn that off, please?
Yeah, what a lot of people are saying is simply the.
What do we got a problem with that?
Sorry, just get it.
Hold on for just a second here, Mr. Amarca. 877-876-7445. I don't know why that fired like that. Kimberly, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, yes.
Hi.
I actually work in a hospital, and I'm actually on a trauma team. So basically the way it works is if you're in a horrible accident, you're a trauma, you come into the emergency room, we treat you, no questions asked. 90% of the time, we don't even have the name of a patient. You are a trauma and a number.
Exactly. That's what Obamacare will do.
That is not what Obamacare is going to do.
Yeah, that's right.
Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. A friend of mine who is actually mm-hmm. a surgeon in England.
Mm-hmm.
She's a renal
mm-hmm.
surgeon
mm-hmm.
in England.
Mm-hmm.
When you go into renal failure
mm-hmm.
in England,
mm-hmm.
you're cut off for
mm-hmm.
dialysis. Stop that. Mm-hmm. You're being rude.
Excuse me. What does England have to do with it?
Obamacare is a carbon copy of the health care that they have in England.
No, it is not a carbon copy.
Because you read it?
You work in a hospital and you're that misinformed. No, it is not. And you know something? I'll meet you anywhere and debate this in front of your very best friends, if you'd like, so that they'll all become fans of Obamacare and they'll realize how misinformed you are. It has nothing to do with the English model.
Can I finish my statement real quick?
You can, but you're...
Okay,
she's wrong about...
Let the lady finish.
I know, I just wanted to say she's wrong about the first thing that she said. So the whole first half of what she said is wrong.
Would you please let her finish, Ms. Dooley, and not judge her argument until she's done? Go on, ma'am.
Okay, I'm sorry. So part of Obamacare is that they are going
mm-hmm.
to set limitations on care.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, as it stands,
mm-hmm.
if you're
mm-hmm.
89 years old and you need an open heart surgery,
mm-hmm.
you can get that
mm-hmm.
right now.
Mm-hmm.
Under Obamacare, you will not be able
mm-hmm.
to get that. You will
When did you people start lying to defend your position? When did that start? Is that recent or all the way from the beginning? Because that's a lie. That's a lie, and I can prove that too. You are very you're not prepared for this debate.
I'm very
just
prepared
someone
for this
that,
debate.
No, you're not. You don't know what you're talking about. You're wrong.
Because
I don't know if you're lying or just misinformed.
What if you?
No,
I
know exactly how it works, and you don't.
Because
you don't even
you
know
work
what
in a hospital. Because you work
no,
in a hospital,
you work,
and you've been told what the rules are going to be.
And you've been told what the rules are going to be.
Yes, I have. I work in a hospital.
Uh-huh.
We have.
You
been
work in a hospital, and they have national health care in a hospital, and they have Obamacare in your hospital.
We're working toward that, yes, because
you're working toward that, yes. You're working toward that, yeah.
Yes,
you
because we're about to take
I would love,
hospital.
I would love to meet you in front of all of your best friends, kick your ass in a debate, have all your friends come to my house for drinks, and they won't even hang out with you anymore.
Oh, will you grow up, please?
That is the most mature thing I've ever heard.
Well, you know something? That's what's going to happen after I just...
my wife's right.
No, well, she may be right or wrong, but to say what she just said to this lady...
I'm going to... Yeah, you know, so that was pretty stupid not to be... this lady, so what do you think you're going to do?
I think she thinks she's really smart in front of all of her friends, and when I get done making her look stupid, she won't have any.
So, Bobby, what is the point of this debate, then? To make someone look stupid, or to educate people, maybe, to which one side or the other?
Just because people don't agree with you, Miss Bobby, does not mean that we are
uh-huh.
uneducated. It means that we have a little bit better social grace than you, maybe. because I can listen to you. I can listen to you without being rude.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think so, because you said, quit doing that, remember?
Oh, wait a minute. Where are we going now, okay? You know.
Wait a minute, Mr. Renner. My wife's got a good point.
Yeah, remember when I was going, and you went, oh, stop? All I was doing was understanding you.
Okay, Kimberly, thank you very much.
Like a five-year-old. And I'm sorry, but yes, Obamacare is going to put serious limitations on
what
type of health care is provided to people.
Yeah, I think you have a problem with a black president.
Oh, God. She said you have a problem. Never mind. Hold on, thank you very much, man. We got to take a break. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
What don't you think?
No, I don't think.
Don't yell at my wife. Don't yell at my wife.
Phil Hendry.
It's all right, Steve.
From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And more importantly, we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And so we have to do it. We have to do the heavy lifting. We have to lead the way. And we do that each and every night here on the World famous Phil Hendry Show with all kinds of things, satire, commentary, which is sort of satirical commentary and so forth, plus our website, philhendryshow.com, plus our live streaming video of the show that you can watch at philhendryshow.com each and every night if you have a backstage pass, as well as all of the thousands of hours of archives and so on and so forth. Now, and we also are selling our Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. Am I getting the...
Boy, man, why don't you let people take a breath, man, before you go into commercial?
Sorry. I didn't mean to inundate you guys with a bunch of, hoo-ha and pitching, but let's face it, you know, times are tough, man, so everybody's got to, you know, man got to do what a man got to do. Hell, I'm just trying to make a living over here, you know.
I can dig that, man, but, you know, don't be, like, burying people in it.
No, I know. I'll let your heads up out of the sales pitch trough here. Anyway, welcome to the show, guys. And we do have a number of things we're going to be talking about, much of it related to the Sandusky allegations. Other commentary will follow on other topics. But really, our two primary guests this evening, and there probably will be more, we are going to be talking in a moment to Herb Sewell. And Mr. Sewell was an incarcerated a prisoner at a forensic hospital. He had been remanded there. I believe it was in 1994, remanded there for child molestation. He was convicted, did 8 years there, underwent intensive therapy, and is now at a halfway house and has been an actual news contributor on this program. And you're going to meet him if you haven't met him. And I think that you will hear his story and at least be comfortable with him to this extent, that at least he can comment on some of these stories. I don't know. But we've had Herb on the show before, and he's provided some insight, although it's shocking for people. It truly is to have him, to have anybody like that on the radio show. Later on, we will have Charlie LaFountain on our program, and he's going to be discussing, we're going to be discussing the how to protect your kids. And Charlie is a grandfather. He is a member of a residence association where the kids are really closely monitored by the grandparents and the parents, and he'll give us some tips on how they're protecting their kids. And then we'll do our news and commentary hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And we're going to bring on Herb Sewell right now so we can talk with him about the latest. Now, first of all, before we talk about anything, Herb, and how are you doing?
I'm very well, Phil. Thank you.
Before we talk with you about anything, let me just update people on the latest. And the latest is that there have been, first of all, one of the mothers of one of these victims has spoken publicly. I heard her on the Anderson Cooper show this evening. I'm sure she's spoken to perhaps other news media outlets. Among the very shocking things that she said, this is almost unbelievable. And it kind of pissed me off, to be honest with you. She said that when she heard from her son that Jerry was doing some stuff that was not quite cool, she went to the school. And the principal called her up one day after hearing this in tears and asked her to come to the school. The principal's in tears and says to her, "Now, you know, I have to talk to you about Jerry, but understand he's a very nice man. And please understand the ramifications of what you are contemplating, which was going to the police."
I understand.
And so this woman, what she did do is she took her son and she went down to the Pennsylvania version of whatever they call it, Child Protective Services, which immediately contacts the police. Well, what I found to be really disturbing about all of that was the school's reaction and this principal saying, "Hey, now, Jerry's a really nice guy." I mean, I was floored, man. I mean, I got to tell you, I was like floored. I couldn't believe a school. I can understand some stupid people. I understand there's all kinds of, the world's crawling with dumbasses. But for a school with educators saying, "Well, you know, Jerry's a nice guy and understand the ramifications of what you're about to do." And are you kidding me or what? Now, Herb, you were arrested for this crime. You did 8 years. Tell us what happened to you.
In terms of my incarceration?
Yeah.
Well, I was incarcerated. I was underwent electroshock, insulin shock. I was very heavily medicated at one point. And, of course, I'm dealing with other issues in my life having to do with issues having to do with the way that I was raised and my mother.
Were you molested?
I'm not willing to discuss that right now, to be honest with you. I would simply say...
I'm sorry, but they say most molesters were molested.
I'm not willing to discuss that right now, mostly because I don't really want it to appear as if I'm pushing the blame off onto somebody else. My primary interest in all of this, Phil, is how this is going to affect the rest of society as we move forward in dealing with predators, which, yes, you're right, I was one, and in protecting children, and also the lives of former molesters, former offenders, if you will. I prefer to call them offenders because I think that really at the end of the day that's what they were. If you keep calling them molesters, I think that you are saying that, that the status, the extant state of these people is that they are molested. Certainly not. I'm not a molester. And
you have not reoffended.
No, I have not. Well, certainly have not. And I would say to you that I'm in a situation right now observing parole and at a halfway house and doing work by way of telecommuting whereby I keep myself under court order in the strictest of circumstances. Now, it is not to say that I don't try to have a life. And to that end, the South Bay Resident Co-op, which was something I joined, all adults, and is a health organization.
Now, what is this, a social organization?
It is a social organization of adults who are interested in what I guess has been traditionally called sun worship. And this is something that I have to take into consideration. I have to ask... All right, what are the parameters here? Because every other weekend we are meeting at one or two of the beaches in the Southern California area, and we sun worship. What are the parameters?
When you say sun worship, what do you mean? Do you mean you're nude?
That is correct. We are sun worshipers. If you wish to call it naturalist, I don't like to use the term nudity because I think it bespeaks of sexuality. It's no sex. This is about sun worship. This is about, observing the naturalist lifestyle. Now, what do I need to know? What, lay it out for me, because I don't want anyone thinking that Herb Sewell is out there trying to molest their children. That just isn't the case. But on weekends, certain weekends out of the month, I'd say on average one weekend a month, maybe two, I am with South Bay RC. And I don't have any clothes on. We are sun worshiping, and we're doing a variety of other things. We're swimming. We're playing volleyball. We're doing all the games of Over the Line, but we are without any, we don't have clothes on. Now, the reason why I say this is that I want to know how does this work with children so that we don't do anything whatsoever that will run afoul of children.
Well, I first of all, let me ask you this. Do you think that that's a good organization for you to be in?
Absolutely, because there's no children allowed. They're all adults. I'm not around children.
Some of these organizations, these naturalist organizations, they have families.
No, not this one. This is all adults. No children allowed.
Okay.
And so, but my question it still stands.
Well, again, so you think it's a healthy organization. I know there's no children around. You're nude on a beach someplace.
That is correct. But it's not just that we're nude on a beach someplace, Phil. We are there as part of a regimen of health, and as part of a regimen of activity and exercise without clothing, because the idea of clothing at all times is really quite destructive and really quite meaningless. Not that we don't wear clothes to go to work, but you see what I'm saying. But I'm looking for personally, and I think the South Bay Resident Co-op is looking for this, because I brought this up to them. I said, I will be very honest with you. I, at one time, was incarcerated for child molestation. So I don't want to obviously reoffend. What do I do? Where do I go? Who do I talk to? So that I don't have someone saying, isn't that Herb Sewell? And he's standing on the beach with no clothes on, playing volleyball, and looking very cavalier. That's not the case at all.
Well, I can tell you that would be I don't blame you for fearing that, because, if I didn't know you, but I knew what you had done, and there you are, you're playing volleyball, and
Yes, and it is insightful. I understand it's insightful for some people. If you're looking at naturalists, or you're looking at sun worshippers, and there's the obvious fact that on men especially, but also women, when you're jumping about and you're having a very heavy exercise period, or you're doing some kind of exercise, you obviously the certain parts of your body are going this way and that. They're swinging around and so on and so forth, and I'm not going to get very graphic on that. I think you understand what I'm saying. And some people find that very insightful. And
well, insightful in that it makes people angry.
Yeah, it would make people angry, and I understand that. And so that already, we've already got one foot in it, if you will, as we're playing volleyball and we're playing Over the Line and all of these different games. And this is going on with the different aspects of our bodies. And then you have a man or a woman saying, look at those people, and they're obviously exposing themselves. And it makes me angry that the breasts on those women are swinging up and down, and the men. And by the way, I've got my children with me. And isn't that Herb Sewell? You see what I'm saying?
Well, do you fear that you're going to be recognized?
Not so much that, but I want to be very clear as to what are the parameters here.
All right, well, how about this? Why don't I just say this? And I'm sure we can take phone calls when we go to our break, which we're going to do right now. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445 is our number. Herb Sewell is with us. He's a man convicted of child molestation, was in prison, is out now, is at a halfway house, is under strict parole supervision and whatever that is, Herb, and one of these days you could explain that to us.
Well, it's simply you're certainly you're having to report to a parole officer.
I understand, but you also join some kind of a nudist organization, and you're fearful that someone's going to think you're running afoul of children that way.
That is exactly correct.
Well, let me just say this. Why not have these meetings of nudists where you are on the beach, you have no clothes, whatever, as far away from children as you can?
Because, well, first of all, it's not practical. We have to have these events close to the city and close to the metropolitan areas and the associated environs where people live. You can't very well have this out on a secluded island somewhere.
Well, I don't mean a secluded island, but I mean you certainly don't want to run afoul of children, as you say, so you wouldn't want to have it in any area where there are kids.
But it changes from one week to the next. I am the only one in this organization, as far as I know, that has this problem. I have been incarcerated for molesting children. Everybody else does not have this on a record, so they're moving these meetings all over the place. And there may be a meeting or an event where we are without any clothes on.
Well, I don't know. First of all, legally, how you can do that in California. I mean, nudity, public nudity.
Well, but yes, but in Florida and there are other places where we move our meetings around.
All right. Herb Sewell on the line with Florida. Does he fly to Florida?
No.
Herb Sewell on the line with us. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. He's a former. He was incarcerated for child molestation. Now he belongs to a naturalist sun worshiper organization and is afraid that he's going to be perceived as, you know, trying to pick up kids, and he wants to know what the rules are when it comes to that, so that there's no impropriety. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, back with Herb Sewell. Later on tonight, we have Chris Norton and Charlie the Fountain joining us. We'll be
back. Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL as Herb Sewell joins us from the Los Angeles area. Mr. Sewell was incarcerated at Atascadero Forensic Hospital in Northern California for a period of time as a result of convictions for child molestation. And you were in a pretty serious environment up there, weren't you?
I would say that, yes, I would say it was very serious.
Some pretty, pretty rough people.
Well, I understand that this was a forensic hospital, which means that these people who are considered having these sorts of issues that are emotional or mental, if you will, and so they're not hardened criminals insofar as the cell block in a federal or state prison, but nonetheless, I was there with Randall Toomey, I was there with Walter Belhaven, Patrick William Morris. These were all notorious serial killers. In one instance, Randall Toomey, who was catatonic and was a man, the last physical act that he did on the outside was to murder his entire family. Walter Belhate, a serial murderer from the time he was 12. So, this is a very, very serious group of people. My crimes pale, I would say, without trying to be too cavalier, but my crimes, I think, would pale in comparison to the Walter Belhaven. Now,
all right, but the point being, you were there, and these are serious people, and your crimes are serious against children.
Absolutely, Phil. Yes, I'm not trying to minimize them. I'm just saying that.
No, I understand what you're saying, and you did your time, and you are out, and you are not supposed to be around kids, but now you're in this nudist group, and
yes, but there are no children in the nudist group. These are adults, and
I understand that. You want to know what the parameters are for what, a nudist group?
I'd like to know what the parameters are for a nudist group, and what are the parameters for nudist groups that have individuals such as myself that are former offenders. And we're trying to work on language, Phil, so that when we do leave prison or we do leave a forensic hospital, the language is, I'm not a former molester, I'm not a former offender. I was the guest of the state of California in terms, and I had aberrant social habits that needed to be corrected. And
I think that that's asinine. Asinine.
Why is that?
Because you were molesting children. Aberrant social habits that needed to be corrected. Sounds like you're taking an Emily Post class. Let's go to a phone call here. Yes, sir, you're on the air on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead. Is the gentleman there online? The gentleman calling in, I forget what his name was. You there, sir?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, go ahead, sir. You're on the air. I forgot your... What is your first name?
William,
go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Yeah, I mean, my thing, I'm just sitting here and I'm listening and whatnot. And, I mean, for a person to be a sex friend and to want to be in a nudist group, I mean, you have the right to be able to want to... After you do your time, to go out and do what it is that you want to do. But, I mean, there's just certain things out there that you should stay away from. Like, a beach is a public place, you know what I mean? And
of course,
you really can't predict whether or not a child is going to be around. Like, you're setting yourself up to fail. You know what I mean? You're already going to be aroused, jumping around and exercising, butt naked, you know what I'm saying, with whoever's out there.
Well,
and then,
I'm not looking for children. I understand that, but I'm not looking for children. I'm looking to exercise and be a part of this group of adults that are playing volleyball, and we're enjoying ourselves, picnicking, lunching. But I don't even want the hint of impropriety. And if I'm out there and I've got no underwear on, and a kid wanders.
But that's my point. If you, it's not about what you want. It's about what other people perceive of what it is that you want. And have, and being that your status is what it is, if I walk by with my kid and I do know who you are, you know what I mean? All you have to do is make a funny look that way. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to assume that you're giving him the eye. And the fact that you're
butt
makes it even worse.
That's a good point, Herb. What about people that may recognize you?
Well, see, this is what I'm saying. If someone does recognize me, such as this gentleman, William, I would be able to, if I've got some parameters, to say to him, William, before you say anything, you know, discuss it. Now, if he does recognize me, and I'm standing there, and I'm in what we call a half regalia. Half regalia means that basically when you're sun worshiping, if it's a cold day, you wear a shirt. Well, wearing a shirt, if you've got a T-shirt, but you're naked from the waist down, I'm basically standing there with my genitals hanging down. And I would hope he's not going to walk by. Yes, sir?
Like, I mean, what beach are you actually able to do something like that?
Well, it changes from week to week. Many of them, sometimes it's Cove down in Laguna Beach, and sometimes it's, but they do change from week to week.
Why? Are you trying to stay ahead of the police? I mean, this is...
It is legal in some... Mr. Henry, that was very uncalled for. No, we're not trying to stay ahead of the police. It is legal in some areas of Southern California if you are so many hundreds of yards away from a roadway or that kind of thing.
All right, listen, William, thank you for your call, sir. We got to take a break. I appreciate it very much. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, talking to Herb Sewell, a former child molester, now out of prison and has joined some kind of a nudist colony and wants to know what the parameters are.
Phil,
we'll be back.
Henry. Famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL is our number. We're talking here with Herb Sewell, and all of this was really a part of the Jerry Sandusky Penn State scandal that is now rearing its ugly head. And the more we hear about it, the less we like it. Not that we liked it at all. Not that we liked anything having to do with it. But as these facts come out, Herb, they're just more odious and more odious.
Well, I totally agree with you. They are very odious.
And as someone such as yourself who's been in prison for this, you know what people's view is. It's extremely, it is extremely raw. Sometimes it can be violent. Sometimes it's harsh.
Phil, believe me, I know exactly what you're saying, and I know the sensitivities. And I was... And I became aware of those as I went through my treatment, you know. And when I got out of Atascadero, after 8 years of being treated for this horrible, horrible compulsion, which is to harm children in this way, you begin to reflect and you begin to see the horror of the crimes that you committed and the horror that you visited on people. And you believe me, a rational mind never wants to be involved with anything like that again. And that is who you're talking to right now, Herb Sewell. I'm not claiming that I was rational then. I'm not claiming that I was rational at any time during my hospitalization. But I'm telling you that today, I have a rationality and I have an appreciation for the dangers and for the harm that I did do. And I'm very grateful for this chance.
All right, so having said all of that, why have you joined a nudist, I don't know what you call it.
Well, first of all, it's not nudist. It's naturalist. It's sun worship. It's not a colony. It's a club. And I joined it because I have an interest in health and sport, and certainly wanted to meet people who have a similar interest. The regalia that I'm talking about is called half regalia. What we wear are sweatshirts or sweaters that come just below the navel. And then everything on down, you are disrobed. You're naked. We only wear those in cold weather. But I was concerned because if we're playing volleyball and people see us wearing these sweaters and are, if you'll forgive me for saying, the men at least, their genitals are swinging everywhere, people are going to think that we're trying to make people angry, that we're trying to show off. I don't know what they would think. So that's why I wanted to know the parameters.
Well, what do you mean the parameters? What are you talking about the parameters?
What are the parameters for me being in a nude club?
And well, have you asked your parole officer? Have you asked the...
I can ask. There's a lot of people I can ask, but it's better for me to get the lay of the land and the feel. Because the parole officer is going to tell me, no, 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 no. Whereas people might be more... I can well imagine, for instance. I heard what you said.
Look, you know, you're dancing around us, Herb. I already told you that people have a very unforgiving nature.
People have an unforgiving nature, but when they know that I'm not interested any longer in their kids, then I can get some input as to how to proceed. Because right now, if I'm, for instance, at a beach activity, at a beach function with the South Bay Resident Co-op,
And this is this nudist organization.
This is the Naturalist Sun Worship, yeah.
Okay.
And I am nude, and I'm standing talking to someone. And I'm laughing, and I'm enjoying myself, and suddenly a kid walks by with his parents, and they recognize me. Am I protected? You know, in other words, what do I do? Do I start? I can tell you this. My instinct is to start running. And
your instinct is to start running. Well, maybe that's a good instinct, because if you...
Well, that's patently illegal. I'm not going to be harassed that way.
Well, look at Herb. If you are standing there laughing, and why did you bring up laughing?
Because some people may find that provocative, that I'm laughing and uproariously, and someone walks by and recognizes my picture from the newspaper.
Well, I mean, I don't know, man. You know.
You don't know. And yet you are judging me. This is what I'm talking about, Phil. The judgment. The constant judgment. You're judging me, and yet you don't know. Should I run?
Should you run? I got to just go back to what people were saying. I would not be in that situation. I would not put myself in that situation, like that one gentleman said, of being a nudist, a former child molester, and now you're standing on a beach laughing and playing volleyball, and a guy walks by and recognizes your face from the newspaper.
Yes.
And that, well, okay, so he's going to confront you, perhaps. And you want to know, what do you do? Run at that point? Yeah, I think I would.
Well, all right, thank you. Because you just stepped into the trap. That's illegal. He's not allowed to do that. So I said what I said, Phil, to see if you'd take the bait, and you did. And
what do you mean, take the bait? I mean, what else could I say?
You could say something that would be legal. Legal. Do I have the legal right to be in the half regalia playing volleyball and laughing? Yes, I do. Do I have the legal right to have no clothes on? Yes, I do. Do I have the legal right even to have, as you say, you know, the genitalia swinging? Yes, I do. And
well, no, you said that. Let me get a phone call here. 877-876-PHIL is the number here in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Let me go over to Dean. Hey, Dean, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with... Herb Sewell, go ahead, sir.
Oh, hi, Phil. How are you?
Good.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm a father. I'm the father of a young son, and I'm the father of two daughters. And I'm listening as patiently as I can to the man that you have on your program, and I'm really trying very hard to understand. I consider myself to be a pretty liberal and progressive person. In fact, I've donated much of my time to progressive and liberal causes. And so one would think that I'd perhaps have a better understanding of a man like this.
I would hope you would, sir.
Well, now, what I want you to do is just not say anything, please, until I'm finished. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm a progressive person, and I think that I'm a liberal person.
That's the same thing.
Mr. Hendry, would you tell him to not say that?
Please, Herb, don't.
Liberal and progressive.
Would you please tell him to not do that?
Herb, just let the man finish.
Okay, well, is he the program director of the RIF?
Would you please ask the man, because I'm trying to be patient, I want to see things on your side of things, but the more you talk, the tenser I get. And I'm into holistic health. I'm into health, too, Mr. Sewell. And
well, I think holistic healing is wonderful.
Would you please...
Herb, just let the man finish.
The sound of my voice, does that bother you?
Yes, it does. Yes. I'm going to say something that I don't think I ever would have said, because I've marched for women's rights. I marched against the war in Iraq. I've been at Occupy San Francisco for 14 days straight, to the point where I have not had a bath or anything decent to eat. My breath. And the reason why I bring that up is I kissed my wife today, and she, my own wife, looked at me and waved her hand like my breath. She used an old line. She said, your mouth smells like the you-know-what army slept in it.
Japanese army.
Yes, and I didn't want to say that because it was very, very politically incorrect.
But it seems to me that you're trying not to be politically...
Would you please shut your mouth?
All right, now hold on for just a minute.
I don't want to listen to this guy, Phil.
All right, hold on for just a minute. Let this man finish, but I have to tell you, Dean, get out what it is you want to get out, and then let Herb talk, because you're spending more time correcting him.
I understand, but when he talks and interrupts me,
this is a free country.
Shut up!
Herb and Dean, I'm going to hang up on you if you yell again. Herb, just be quiet.
I spent 2 weeks at Occupy San Francisco. When I got home to my own wife, she waved her hand in front of her face when I tried to kiss her and said my mouth smelled like, that's correct, the Japanese, and she didn't even use the word Japanese. She used a shortened version of that. So in recent days, our home, which has always been a refuge for progressive thought, for people in our neighborhood, for people in our town, for people in our area, the Bay Area here, it's been a refuge for progressive thinkers. And in recent days... We're under a great deal of stress when my own wife says that I got a mouth that smells like the you-know-what army slept in it overnight.
You're laughing.
And I am not laughing. I'm emotional.
I heard you laugh.
And I am not laughing. You want to see me laugh? I'll come to where you are, and I'll sever your...
He's disconnected.
Of course he's... He's disconnected. He disconnected when he was born. You know, when he was born, he disconnected.
Okay, Herb, but as I said, when the man was getting jacked up and getting wound up, you should have just kept your mouth shut. 877-876-PHIL. Harvey Wireman is joining us now. Harvey, I know that you've had experience, obviously, in the criminal area of law, and we have. And I know you know Herb. Give me your take on whether or not Mr. Sewell's activities at a nudist colony make sense.
Well, first of all, I know Herb Sewell. How are you, Herb?
I'm very good, Harvey.
First of all, this man has every right in the world to... he's got every right in the world to go wherever he wants and do... There's a song that came out a number of years ago, Go Where You Want to Go and Do Whatever You Want to Do. You know the song they did?
I think that was a song by the Fifth Dimension.
What was that?
Song by the Fifth Dimension?
Yeah, Fifth Dimension.
What do you mean, Fifth Dimension? What are you talking about?
That, the name of the group.
Oh, okay. All right, I'm sorry. All right, so this was a song. And it said, you got to go where you want to go, do what you want to do. That's what, I don't want to say that ought to be the theme song of child molesters, but the way we're living these days. And
well, what do you think he should do in terms of this nudist...
I heard the man say five times it's not a nudist, it's a natural. What'd you say, Herb?
Yes, thank you, Hobby. It's a naturalist of sun worship organization.
Yeah, naturalist sun worship. As a criminal defense attorney, hold on for a minute. Get Grandpa a big glass of water, that new water that your mother brought. We just got back from dinner, Phil, and I had a delicious, they had a cheese item that I got, but it creates phlegm. So this guy should be singing the. You got to go where you want to go and do how you do it. You know.
I understand about the song "Go Where You Want to Go." I understand that. I doubt seriously whether that's a very good theme song for child molesters. You know.
Why not?
Go where you want to go.
Bill, I'm sure you understand if we've served our time, if we did the time because we did the crime. You've heard that before.
Yeah, but you know something, man? There's such a thing as of a supervised probation, etc., and that's what Herb is currently observing. So what should he do in terms of a nudist or if you don't want to call it that, this sun worship organization?
Well, I heard the best thing for you to do. The best thing for you to do is if you are, you're out on the sand and you're enjoying your afternoon, and I can certainly understand that. You people don't wear pants or something, is that how you do? Well, we wear pants, but we don't wear, on cold days, we will wear a top. And so it comes down to the name. Yeah, but for all intents and purposes, you're naked.
That is correct, yes.
All right, well, then what I would suggest you do is if you see a man walking down the promenade or the walkway or however with a kid, that you very, very slowly approach and say, my name is Herb Sewell. I was incarcerated for child molestation, but, and this is very important, Herb. This is very important. I was incarcerated for child molestation, but I've been through intensive therapy, and I'm here with adults. You have nothing to fear, and maybe even because what you don't want to do is make them afraid. So, say, yes, I'm naked from the waist down, and you can see. And
you must be out of your mind, man. That would never fly.
May I finish? Oh, boy. Can I finish what I'm saying? Bill, you're butting in.
I don't care if I'm butting in. Are you crazy? Hi, I'm Herb Sewell. I was incarcerated for child molestation. And let me just say to you...
Can you mind if I finish with... I've got...
Hold on. What a whack job, man. Every time I have that cat on the show...
What's wrong with his throat, man? He's always gagging.
Always gagging? How can a guy get a point out when he's gagging up phlegm... And he's not even giving you anything realistic. Hi, I'm Herb Sewell. I was arrested for child molestation. But as you can see now, yes, I am nude from the waist down. But I'm here with all these adults. Okay, we'll be back. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back in the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We're talking with Herb Sewell. We've had Harvey Wireman on the line with us, talking to us about what he thinks the criminal ramifications are of Mr. Sewell, a former child molester, being a member of a naturalist or nature-worshipping organization, and exactly what that can mean to him by way of the law and his ability to remain within the law. We'll get Herb back on the line here, and Harvey is with us from... San Marino, I'm sorry to have to hang up on you, Harvey, but I didn't hang up. I didn't put you on hold so radically. We had to go to a break, you know.
Well, you know, and you also were saying to me that, I forget what you said, but you said that that he had no right to be at the beach. And I beg to differ. As a criminal defense attorney, I happen to know what a person's constitutional right, you know, a constitutional right. Constitutional rights are, and the let me jump in here, Harvey, because I know that you're struggling this evening with the phlegm issue, but thank you very much, by the way, for coming to my defense, as it were. I do believe that that we all have to understand that even those of us that have been in prison have every right in the world to do whatever it is we feel like doing within the law. And And so the
idea, Harvey, that he's nude on a beach.
Oh, well, the idea that he's nude on a beach, he's not going up to a kid and saying, "Hi, I'm nude." And
but you're telling this guy that if he happens to see somebody that recognizes him, he should walk up to the man and his kid and say, "Yes, it's true. I was incarcerated for child molestation. Hi, little boy. But I'm okay now." Meanwhile, he has no pants on.
You know, you make everything sound like a twisted joke, Henry. This is the thing that you make everything sound as if it's a gag.
Well, what do you call that? That sounds like a joke to me.
I can assure you, Phil, it's not a joke. It's not a joke when the father is standing there and he wants to run you through with whatever is handy. It's not a joke when they want to come to your house and burn it to the ground with you in it. It's not a joke, I can assure you, when they want to tie you to a tree and set fire to the tree. I've seen it all happen, and I've seen it happen millions of times. You tell them, Herb, because as a criminal defense attorney,
when are you going to retire, man? That's what I'd like to know.
What did you just say to me? Boy, I can't believe you said that.
I said, when are you going to retire?
When am I going to retire? Well, you got a pair on you.
I don't know how it is you argue a case when you're standing in front of a judge and a jury, and you're saying, and your honor, whatever it is you're doing there.
You know something? You got a big pair. Herb shouldn't be afraid of joining a nude colony, or a, what do you call it, Herb, a nude colonization? No, it's not a nude colonization.
You call it sun worshiping.
I'll do it, thank you. It's called sun worshiping. Sun worshiping? Sun worshiping.
Sun worshiping.
I'll do it. All right, well, you know, you got such a big pair on you, Henry, that Herb shouldn't worry about being in the nude when a kid walks up. You ought to, because you could sit on yours. I think you would have a pleasant tomorrow.
What a foul-mouthed bastard he is. 877-876-PHIL. Let's get Margaret Gray on the line here as we're talking with Herb Sewell about this idea that he wants to be in a nudist club or something. Margaret, how are you?
Well, I wanted to. I don't know what it is you're talking about, but I heard Harvey mention a song, Go Where You Want to Go. Now, I know that I don't want to interfere with the or intrude on the topic, but I heard the mentioning of Go Where You Want to Go. Is that what I heard?
Yes, this is Herb Sewell.
Yes.
Mr. Wyman mentioned the song, Go Where You Want to Go and Do Whatever You Want to Do.
No, it's not called Go Where You Want to Go and Do Whatever You Want to Do. That's number one. It's called Go Where You Want to Go. The song was recorded by both the Papas and the Mamas and the Fifth Dimension, Phil, and that's what you were struggling with. You know they were a group, right?
Yes, I know they were. It's called the Mamas and Papas. And
no, I said the Fifth Dimension.
You said the Fifth Dimension.
I know that, but she also said the Mamas and the Papas and the Mamas.
They're called the Mamas and... Boy.
You really don't know your music, do you, Phil?
She said it. I didn't say it.
Well, the song goes like this, okay?
Jesus.
Who said that?
I did. I'm sorry, but I was put on Mr. Henry's show.
Hold on for a minute. One, two, three. You gotta go where you... Oh, forget it. I can hear the bumper music. You know, you really know how to pee all over a guy's picnic. So, I really hope that you come down with a very, very raging, virulent, sexually transmitted disease.
Phil Henry.
Now go out and make it a great day.
Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Whether or not I have time to deal with this, I don't know. Bud, he wants me to talk to him right now, is that right?
Yeah, it's Mr. Hall and Miss Ray.
Yeah, David, are you going to bat for Margaret again here?
What is that supposed to mean?
It means every time I hear from you after I've had her on the air, after she's told me to go to hell, after she's told me that she hopes I die in a gasoline fire, after she's told me that she hopes that this most recent one, that I get a virulent sexual disease, and then now go out and make it a great day, I know I'm going to hear from you.
Look, Phil, the lady was trying to sing a song, okay? And you were mocking and laughing and hurrying her along. All I'm saying is I promised her that you could sing the song. You know her husband's wired in. She's got a very heavy husband. Frank Gray is a major producer in this town. I can't afford to piss a guy like that off. She knows what she's talking about.
That was Frank.
Oh, really? Oh, gee, I didn't know that was Frank. The only guy I know that confuses genders, you know?
Don't make fun of a man who's got a crippling ailment, Phil. I'm surprised at you.
Oh, come on. It's the goofiest thing in the world.
What are you... Are you talking about my husband... My husband has provided a wonderful life.
Margaret, I'm not talking about it any other than I just said. You know, the cat's got a goofy illness. Are you telling me that he doesn't?
Are you telling me he doesn't? That man, Phil, I don't know whether you fell on your head as a child, but sometimes when you get excited, this is what you sound like. That's what you sound like, okay? And
well, you know, Margaret, you're mocking me, and I can't make fun of your singing.
I was a professional singer at one time. I was on Broadway at one time. At one time, I will have you know, Richard Harris stood in the wings and watched me perform with tears in his eyes. And if you make a joke about how he was crying because my singing was so bad, I'll get in my car and I'll come there. I'll go to where you work, and we'll see whether or not a woman is able to hold her own against a man. Would you like to see that? I'm talking to you. Would you like to see that?
No, I was amazed at how all of a sudden the restaurant went away for a few seconds.
I told everyone to shut up because I'm on... Here. Shut up. Shut up. There, you like that? Start talking. When I'm on the phone, Phil...
Margaret, you can sing the song. I just had to get to a break, okay?
Yeah, that's better, okay? Talk nice, will you? For crying out loud, Phil. We're just trying to get this... Trying to get to a place where we... Get these guests. We appreciate what they can do for us, and we're not pissing people off.
Thank you very much, David.
You're welcome. I'm actually at Temple City Pool.
Yeah, I can hear the pool, the pool tables. Are you playing pool?
No, I'm playing tennis. Wow.
Bill, you're kidding, right?
Never mind.
Wow. Are you playing pool? Did you get that one? Hey, Frank.
I heard what she said. I didn't believe.
I'm sorry, Phil, but sometimes we all have our comeuppance, and sometimes we just have to sit down, and we've just got to suck on it. And tonight's your night to suck on it.
Okay, all right, fine. I'll suck on it. What can I do for you?
Well, I don't like you saying that so soon after I said suck on it.
What can we do for you, Margaret?
I want to finish singing that song, but Frank, you said what?
I heard Harvey saying that we're talking to this guy about child molestation. I thought Heaven and Hell.
Heaven and Hell is that's my choice, too. The reason why I want to sing Heaven and Hell, Phil, is because, are you kidding me? That's exactly what we're talking about, Heaven and Hell. And the words, I think, of Ronnie James Dio are going to stay with us for many, many years. Sing me a song, you're the singer. Do me a wrong... I forget how it goes.
You're the doer of evil.
You're the doer of evil. And so with that in mind, Phil, I'd like to do this song, and I'd like to do it in a respectful way so that we could all understand just exactly what this Sandusky thing is about. Bud Dickman, thank you. Very tight, Bud. I like that.
You're welcome.
By the way, everyone, Black Sabbath is returning. They have a tour for 2012, I believe. So, not that I...
Yeah, I can't go to that. I would vomit if I heard things that loud.
Just shut up. I don't know the rest of the song, but here it is. 1, 2, 3. So it's all in the Lord,
it's heaven and hell. Shut her up.
Boy.
All she wants to do is get on and sing. She doesn't care whether it has anything to do with anything, whether it has anything to do with what we're talking about. She just wants to sing. I thought she was going to sing Go Where You Wanna Go.
Yeah, she said it was going to sing go where you gotta go.
But go where you want to go.
Alright.
No, that's the name of the song.
Yeah, that I'm sorry. But then she said she wanted to do she wanted to do Johnny James Dio.
Not Johnny James Dio. It's Gates named Ronnie James Echo.
Are you two guys mentally retarded, like permanently, or is there hope? Ronnie James Dio.
Yeah, that's what I'm sorry.
And what did she want to sing that for?
Just like you said, she likes metal.
She likes metal. My ass, she likes metal. She just wanted to get on here and sing, that's it. Maybe they're not having a garden party over there tonight. Maybe her bridge night is another night. Maybe they're just sitting around the pool and Frank can't find ice. And so they went out there to the refrigerator at the bar. I don't know what. 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Charlie the Fountain is going to join us here in just a couple of minutes to talk about his method and the method of his organization that is comprised of seniors, grandparents, and parents of making sure their kids are safe. It's called Operation One Step, and they feel it's been very, very successful in making sure that the kids where they live, which is out in the Inland Empire here in Southern California, the kids are safe from predators. It's certainly a big story, this Sandusky story, which I was watching today in some of the other the new facets of this story that have come out. And a couple of them, one of them, the fact that this mother has spoken out, the mother of victim one, she's made some very specific charges. She said that she was in touch with the school. The school had been in touch with her. They were aware of this guy Sandusky, that this man Sandusky was taking her kid out of class. Can you imagine this? He was taking the kid out of class. And when the mother said, what are you talking about? He's taking, I'm like, oh, well, he does it on occasion, Coach Sandusky. Can you imagine your child being taken out of class by someone other than yourself, without your consent or knowledge, and you find out about this whenever? I mean, it would scare the hell out of me. I don't give a damn who the guy is. So there was that. Then the reaction of this principal, when the woman said she was going to go to the police, the principal started a bawl and was saying, please, you don't understand the ramifications of what you're talking about. I've never heard of anything like this before in my life. It's a story that is getting more ghoulish by the second. Coming on the line now with us is Charlie DeFountain. Charlie's been a contributor to our program. Charlie's retired and has been involved in business in the Inland Empire of California for a long time, but is now retired and is part of this one-step group. Charlie, how are you?
Very good, Phil. Thank you for having me on your program. I enjoy your show, and I have to tell you, I don't envy you some of the people that you talk to.
Well, it is part of the job. Charlie, you have a granddaughter, right?
I do.
How old is she?
She's 12. Liz is 12, and we have a grandson, but he's very, very young, because my daughter got married again. She was divorced and married again, and they now have an infant son.
All right, so now you have this granddaughter that you have been very active, along with your daughter and her husband and others in the in your organization, this One Step. You want to protect the kids from predators, is that right?
Well, we do, and what we wanted to do, and I think we've succeeded at doing, is a very practical way of applying some sort of protection for our grandkids or our children when we are not around, Phil. This is when our children and our grandchildren are at risk, when we are not there to protect them, when we are not there to observe what's happening. You just mentioned this coach, this Sandusky, taking this kid out of class without the knowledge of the mother, and I couldn't agree with you more, Phil. To me, that would be a shocking and very sickening revelation to know that that there were times when my own child was being removed from class by an individual that I now suspected of having assaulted that child. So I can't think of anything more. I think you've used the word ghoulish. I think that's a very good word.
Tell me about One Step. You say it's easy, it's practical. You've had success?
We have had success with One Step, and we call it One Step because it is just one step. Understand that a predator who is going to literally take a child off of a street, somewhere, anywhere, a predator is going to put this child most likely in a car, and that individual is going to be alone with this child for the first few minutes, and unless the police can get to these people and rescue this child for longer than that, and I don't even want to get into, but there is something that can be done in those first few minutes. You make the child not a very practical target for the predator. And what do I mean by that? What I mean is it is not practical to have an individual in close proximity to you who is unpleasant to be around. And I'm not talking about something that the child is going to say or do. I'm simply saying that the very hygiene of this child, and that is the whether it's the smell or the actual cleanliness of the child, is so extreme, the problem with his extreme, they're very unpleasant to be with. So what we've done with our granddaughter, Elisa, and in the one step, is that at least 2 days a week, they are not allowed to bathe, they're not allowed to shower. It sounds very extreme, Jeff, but listen, because it makes so much sense. And when I first brought this up to the people in our organization, they were very much in favor of it because no one had ever brought this up. But you, for 2 or 3 days a week, you don't allow the child to bathe, you don't allow the child to brush their teeth, nothing. And you also encourage them, because they're so young, to eat, and to eat to the point where they do gain some weight. Because, again, we want to make these children so unpleasant to look at and be around that a predator is going to move on. And
all right, tell you what, Charlie, hang on the line here. We're talking with Charlie the Fountain. Can you hold on?
I certainly can, Phil.
Charlie the Fountain talking with us about One Step. And one of the things that they feel is important is to make a child unpleasant to be around, which means no bath, no brushing the teeth, no cleanliness for about 2 or 3 days a week, so that no predator would want them in the car with them. 877-876-PHIL. Does this sound practical to you? 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're talking to Charlie DeFontaine. We'll be right back here.
Truth.
Stick around.
Is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
And philhendryshow.com.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and Charlie DeFountain is with us. We have as well, I believe Margaret Gray is also going to be joining us in a few minutes. We have David Hall in Temple City, California, and a couple of things happening out on the highways tonight that we have to let you in on. But Charlie, again, talking to us, now we have the restaurant. I want to get Charlie the Fountain up. Charlie, is that you?
Yes, Phil, right here.
So talking to us about One Step, where you, and we have some callers to comment on this, but you are discussing and have put into effect some sort of a process by which a child is made unappealing or is somehow repulsive?
Well, that's the logical thing to do, Phil, and that's what we've done. And I said this to the parents. I said, do you want to have a kid in your car that smells and that is fat and ugly and all of this? And of course, you don't want to make your child, because you know that when your child finally gets to be of age, you're going to put them through a very strenuous training. You know, you're going to put them on a diet, put them through training. But you don't, as they're young, you don't want to make them ripe for the picking, is the way that I look at it. So that's what One Step is about.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Let me go to a phone call here. Jerry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Charlie the Fountain.
Hey, Phil. Thanks again for letting me talk.
Yes, sir.
I'm an EMT, and I'm here with my brother-in-law, Phil Colt, and we're thinking that this is just an endangerment of health. Not to mention, I mean, they're young, but you're going to destroy...
What do you mean, endangerment of health? The endangerment of health is to have the predator get their hands on this young person. I would much rather have that child stink like the city dump than have that child get into a car with a predator. Wouldn't you agree?
You know, I agree. You make a lot of sense there, but you've got to be out of your mind to have your kids not brush their teeth. I mean, I discipline my kids if they don't brush their teeth. And
of course.
So what you're saying is you want kids to become fat, stinky, and have bad teeth and unhealthy, correct?
No, I don't want them to degenerate to the point of bad health, but I think that there is a time in their life, once they are past that stage where they are the prime target of a predator, where you put them on a diet, you put them into a rigorous training program, 6 weeks, low-carb, high-protein.
Wait a minute. You've got them eating all kinds of crap, and you've got them not brushing their teeth and all this stuff so that the predator won't go near them, but at some point they're going to have to go on a diet and go into some...
Well, of course you want them to be healthy, just as this gentleman is bringing up. But when they are ripe picking for a predator, you want them to smell and look as and be as unpleasant to be around as possible.
No. There's much better ways for your children to teach them ways to
avoid
these predators.
Well, but I understand, but
in a Taekwondo class, and we teach them in Taekwondo, if a predator tries to remove them or approach them and take them, they are to drop to the ground and kick and scream as loud as they can. And I think that's a great way to avoid a predator. If a child knows if somebody grabs them by the arm, to drop to the ground, use their dead weight to drop to the ground and kick and scream. As opposed to
First of all, you're asking a child. The children are very self-conscious. They would be very embarrassed to drop to the ground and kick and scream, especially a young boy who would make fun of him.
They would be more embarrassed to be fat and stinky and a fat brat.
What I'm trying to say to you, sir, and I know that I can hear you laughing, and
well, it is a little humorous.
No, it is not humorous. When we're saying the following thing, I want that predator not to come near my child. I want that predator to avoid my child. Now, I can tell you from my own experience, in our town, we had a guy who was well-known to the residents. He was hanging around downtown in the commercial district. I saw this guy, and I waved to him, and I pointed to the car where my granddaughter was sitting, and I said, "You, move on." And when he knew that I was Charlie the Founder, started the program, he knew that my granddaughter stunk to high heaven.
What? How do you know that?
Because I know it. And you can teach a kid to scream and yell like a little girl. I think you're going to find a lot of boys don't want to do that. I think they'd much rather smell like a corpse.
Well, come on, man. I mean, if you're talking, just as this gentleman said, he's an EMT. If you're talking about a kid smelling like the city dump, now you're getting into health issues. Now you're...
Why?
Because you're getting into, as this man said, decay, tooth decay. God knows, we already got children get head lice, and they get all kinds of things. You cannot protect the child by endangering their health. Listen, Jerry, is that all? Did I interrupt you? I'm sorry.
Abuse. It's called child abuse.
Oh, that's ridiculous. You're trying to put a label on it. We're trying to avoid child abuse. We're trying to avoid child abuse.
Is a predator, number one, they're whacked anyway. A predator, anybody who's going to go after a child is sick in the head already. They don't care if they stink or smell like a rose. It doesn't matter. They're nuts. But when a parent...
Are you kidding? Are you telling me even the craziest predator doesn't want to have something that smells like a big, fat cow turd?
Okay. Listen,
child into a
big
fat counter.
Yeah, exactly. All right, listen, Jerry, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL.
Well, Phil, people can laugh if they want to, but this is deadly serious business. And
I understand that it's deadly serious business, sir, but you're talking about turning a child into something that smells like a cow turd. At what point does that child get more serious problems smelling like that?
Being molested? You've got to be kidding. I hope your boss is listening.
All right, hold on for a minute. 877-876-PHIL. One step. Make your child unappealing to a predator. That's what his idea is. We'll be back with more of your phone calls.
Phil
Hendry Show.
Hendry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Charlie the Fountain and more of your phone calls, 877-876-PHILS. We're talking to Charlie about One Step, which is a neighborhood program that was instituted by himself as well as others, whereby the kids are protected in a sort of a passive way, is what you're calling it, Charlie, because they're encouraged 3 days out of the week not to bathe, not to brush their teeth, and in point of fact, to overeat and do anything they can to make themselves not attractive to a predator. Now, are they doing this year-round?
Well, we'd like it to extend the year-round. Right now, we're negotiating with the school district. We do it during the summertime when the kids want to let themselves go anyway. But we're negotiating with the school district to enable the children to do it during the school hours. In point of fact, we had our own, what we called our own Days of Rage, which was a, it was very much civil disobedience, but we had the kids show up for school on Monday, having spent the last 4 days without a bath, without brushing their teeth, nothing. And we had a confrontation at the school. There were kids there whose parents allowed them to bathe, and there was an issue. And
was it the comfort of the kids?
Well, it was the comfort. It was they claimed that the smell was overpowering. And I made the point to the school district. I said it's supposed to be so that predators are not, seeking our children. So we compromised, and we're hopeful that in the coming spring semester, the kids will be allowed to at least a couple days, I think it was 2 or 3 days out of the month, that they'll be able to practice one step and really get a good odor going, because this is the most important thing, Mr. Henry. It's a way to repel a predator when you got that odor, and it is a very distinct odor. One that I recall a older brother of mine who had been in the Marine Corps in World War II, and he had been in Tarawa, where there was a great loss of life, and it was 1 degree above the equator, so that within 3 days, the smell of the Japanese dead was so overpowering and ripe, and he said, if that's what you want to smell, he says, if you can somehow find a way to smell, but he said, you want the kids to smell like that. And I said, oh, I never smelled it before.
You want the kids to smell like an island full of dead Japanese soldiers.
You find that funny, huh? The death of men?
No, I do not. I find it funny, bizarre, that you want children to smell like that. Let's take a phone call here on the Phil Henry Show. Here is Travis. Travis, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Charlie the Fountain. Go ahead, please.
All right, how you doing?
Very good, sir.
All right. Hey, man, that's really disgusting, man, not to have the kids bathing, man.
Could the caller speak up, please? Could you speak up, sir?
Oh, yeah, hold on. Let me, I said that's really disgusting. You got kids not bathing.
Right, but we don't want them to smell sweet like a flower so some filthy predator could come along and say, wow, this one smells good. You see what I'm saying? We want
not
them to
really.
Be so...
No, because if the school's going along with it, the school needs to be shut down. That's sending out our diseases and stuff.
Well, what diseases are you talking about, sir? If a child...
I mean, you're not bathing, man, on a daily basis. You're supposed to at least take 2 baths a day. Do you bathe every day?
Do I bathe? I take showers. I try to only take 1 shower a week, though. And this is my own personal...
You 1 shower a week?
Yes, sir. But I'm retired.
That means there's something wrong with you, too, then.
No, sir. Now, I take a shower a week. I do do what we called...
water.
Well, no, sir. I take what's called a sailor's shower, where I wipe down.
Why are you not taking a daily shower?
For my own personal reasons. For my own personal reasons. I think the water supply is hard water. I think it's very unhealthy. And I can tell you that...
It's unhealthy not to bathe every day.
Well, I can tell you this.
It's really unhealthy.
I can tell you this.
Bathe and brush your teeth every day. Use the
deodorant. Sir, can I ask you a question? Are you suddenly my mother? Of course you're not. I will do what
I'm not your mother or your father, but you're supposed to be taught
right.
That when you was coming up to wash every day.
I can tell you this. That
I need to ask the caller, Travis, to turn his radio down. Travis, we can hear the radio in the background. Will you turn it down?
I can tell the gentleman this. I can
tell
the gentleman now, see, he's going to be over there turning his radio down.
No, he's listening.
I'm right here.
All right.
You supposed to be taught to bathe every day. Your mother
I was.
And your father told you to bathe
I was.
Every day.
Yes, I was taught
that. Why you not doing what you're supposed to do with your kids then.
For political reasons. The children, to protect the children, to protect them from predators who will not want to put them in the car if they smell like they don't wipe.
Well, how about that kids then? Every day, every day in your community, one parent just go pick up all the kids on a couple of blocks where they located at. And that will work out on it.
Say that again.
Every day, a different parent go pick up the kids from school. All y'all put in money together and just get like an excursion van or something. If you have to make two or three trips, oh well. The kids will be safe that way.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said.
I heard what he said. He said have the parents get a van and pick all the kids up that way.
Well, that doesn't protect the children when they're out at the mall, when they're out at the movies, when they're walking to a friend's house. There's a million different... What's wrong with the kid being repellent? And I'm just
You want the kids, this is where they go, you want them to just stay. You want them to be funky wherever they go.
To be what? Funky?
Funky.
Is that what you said? Yes. Look, you might as well know. We teach the kids at least once a week, don't wipe. And
Now that is unhealthy. Don't wipe.
Yes, we're trying to do everything. We're trying to save lives, Mr. Hendry. The lives
of our
children.
You're killing lives that way, man. You ain't saving nothing.
Oh, whoever died from not wiping their rear end? Are you kidding me?
Oh, come on, man. At some point, people are going to... You know, at some point, the people, just regular people are going to come to you and say, your kid stinks, man. You better put that child in a bathtub because this is not good.
Well, then I'll say to them, are you trying to kill my child?
And you know what they're going to do? They're going to lock you up in a nut house.
So that's
it. That's right.
So that, you think I'm crazy too, is that it? So you two guys think.
But
go ahead.
Saying,
you think I'm nuts.
What I'm saying is, though, if you don't practice healthy hygiene with your kids, how are they going to practice it with their kids?
They know how to take a bath. I tell them, this is only so a predator doesn't want to stick you in the trunk of the car. I need for you not to wipe on these 2 days, and we mark the calendar.
What your grandkids must think you're goofy.
No, they do not.
Either that or they must have been raised. thank you very much for your caller, sir. That's Travis.
Was that man laughing?
Yes, he was laughing.
Well, I will tell you this. I think I have sunk to a new low.
Yeah, well, you certainly have.
No, not me. I've sunk to a new low. No, I'm visiting a new low. I haven't sunk to a new low. I'm visiting a low that you've sunk to. And that low that you've sunk to is you laugh at a man that is trying to keep his grandchild...
No, sir, I wouldn't laugh at any man trying to keep his children or grandchildren safe. But the method that you're using, number one, I don't believe is going to be effective at all. I agree with that one caller who said that these people that are predators are so sick, they're so messed up, they don't care how the kid smells, they don't care how the kid's dressed. That's got nothing to do with it, man. They'll abduct your child or your grandchild just as fast as any other. And
so they want to put a kid in their car, sit next to that kid over God knows how many hundreds of miles while they take him to a cabin that they've got in the woods, while the kid smells like he wasn't born, he was dropped out of a cow's ass. God.
Will you watch your language, please? 877-876-PHIL here on the Phil Hendry Show. We have a traffic situation that we have to get to, and I want to talk to this gentleman on the line. Hang on the line there, Charlie. Is this... Well, hold on for a minute, because you still have that the restaurant on. Is this Austin?
Yes, sir.
Austin, how are you doing? What can we do for you?
Yes, sir. I wanted to report I've had a... an axle break on my truck here just about... I don't know, probably about 20 minutes ago, the axle broke on my truck as a result of me having a swerve, and I had some event take place in the cab of the truck. If you can hear me,
I can hear you fine.
There's a lady that was singing a song, and it caused a disorientation, and I jerked the wheel, it broke the axle. So I've got a semi down here, and I got a cab over, I've got a jackknife my cab over out here.
Where are you?
I'm on the 5. I'm on the Interstate 5.
And you jackknifed your semi where?
Just approaching Lake Estee, Six Flags.
You're approaching Six Flags?
Yes, sir.
Magic Mountain up there?
Yes, sir.
Get Margaret on the line.
What's she going to do about it?
She's the one that caused it. Get her on the line.
I don't know if you're talking about... Lady was singing, and I'd like to solve the heaven or hell on a Ronnie Jane Dio. I've always enjoyed it. But when she started to sing, I went, God Almighty, help me, help me. That's the last I remember feeling. I was praying to God for help. And
what happened?
It was a high-piercing squealing. Oh, God. It was a squeal, all right.
Okay, Margaret Gray is joining us here from Santa Monica. Margaret, are you there?
Yes, what is it?
I'm sorry, but there's a gentleman here who had listened to you sing last half hour, and apparently it caused... Austin, you want to tell her?
Yes, ma'am. My name is Austin Amark. I'm a truck driver up on Interstate 5 right now.
Yes.
I heard you singing Heaven and Hell, and when you hit the high note, I was disoriented, and I had to jerk the wheel, and... got disoriented, I jerked the wheel, and I stabbed the axle, and I had it jacked out of my truck. And I don't want to complain or anything, because I like that song, but what you've done to me...
Well, I don't understand. Are you saying that you somehow wrecked your truck because of my singing?
Yes, ma'am, because of the high-pitched...
I have had a lot of people try to insult me. I can tell you, I've had a lot of men come on to me like I'm nothing more... than a $3 hooker, but I've never had anyone say to me that they jackknifed a truck near Lake Castaic on Interstate 5 because of my singing. I think you're lying.
No, ma'am.
I think you're lying. I think Phil Henry put you up to it.
I did not.
No, ma'am. I called a radio show just a few minutes ago.
I think Phil Henry put you up to it. And as the result of your lie, I'm going to sing the song again, and I would suggest you turn your radio down.
No, man, please don't. The radio is on, and I can't turn it off because the electrical got fried when I flipped it. I had to call my supervisor.
I don't care. I'm going to sing the song again. And I find it very, very untoward, Phil.
Well, wait a minute. You're not going to sing anything on my show because I won't let you.
Get David Hall.
All right. I'll do it right now.
Oh, great.
Yeah, she's going to call David Hall.
What if I put you on hold?
Tell David Hall he's going to put me.
You know, I can't believe you, Margaret. Here he is. David?
Yeah, look, just let her sing her song, will you, for God's sake? Just let her sing the song. I've been bothered and bothered and bothered by you. Are you there, man?
David, I'm here, and I want to sing this song because the truck driver said that my singing... actually caused him to flip his truck, and I won't stand for that. So I'm go ahead, Bud, and we can hit it right. Yeah, there you go.
All right, can you hear the music, Phil?
Yeah, I can hear the music.
Please, ma'am, don't do it. Please don't do it.
Well, I wasn't going to do it until you called it and made an outrageous claim,
ma'am. Please don't, ma'am. I can't. God, please don't.
No, you know, this is taking time out of my life.
Well, then don't sing it.
Shut up.
Oh, God, oh, God.
You're a doer of evil.
Oh, please help me. Help me. What is going on?
I don't know. La, la, la. How do you feel?
All right, let's take a break. 877-876, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. On the line with us from the Inland Empire is Charlie the Fountain, as we continue to discuss with him the One Step, which is this program of not having your children or grandchildren bathe or wash or take care of their hygiene or even take care of their weight so that they are unappealing to predators. And again, Charlie, there's a lot of different ways we can talk about this, but the practicality of it, I don't think you've addressed. That is a child that smells like that. And on top of everything else, folks, we've had Margaret Gray and a gentleman on the Interstate 5 up near Magic Mountain who jackknifed his truck this evening. And we'll get back on the line and talk to him if we have time. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Amy on the Phil Hendry Show. Amy, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to, you know, Phil, for one, I totally respect you and your opinion about
Thank you.
It. I am a mother Thank of you. Five kids. That is totally irresponsible. That is not even adult thinking of telling your children not to bathe or brush their teeth. Or
well, you understand, ma'am, that's not my opinion. That's not my opinion.
Oh,
Mr. LaFountain.
Your gentleman is calling in, you know, a grandfather.
Ma'am, I'm a grandfather, and in order for you to understand this, I think you need to realize that I only have the best interest of my granddaughter at heart. And
well,
I don't
you
want...
do? Why don't
yes,
you teach your granddaughter, like the gentleman said about self-defense? You're
about
not
what?
Even making any sense about raising our children nowadays to be overweight. And
ma'am, I'm trying to come up with ideas to save our children. When you look at what's going on at this at the pen.
For saving our children. I have a daughter who was molested by her uncle. So tell me, what do you do with your children who come across people who they trust and are supposed to love? What do you tell them?
If your daughter stunk, then the uncle, if your daughter had smelled...
Are you even rational? Are you...
Ma'am,
am I talking with an adult here, or am I talking
of course
to
you
with
are.
A mentally...
Are you trying to tell me
person?
That if your daughter smelled, and I spelled really ripe, I mean, she really stunk, you think that uncle would have gone near her? I don't think so.
That's ridiculous.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
How is that not making sense when someone smells as if they were if they've been dead for a month?
Okay, you tell
yes.
me. What about these women who are being attacked and raped? You're going to tell
think,
them if you would have been
think,
stinky and fat, you would have
I think
been,
that
I've heard of 90-year-old women who have been raped and attacked. So you
but for 90, they probably looked good. For 90, they
you
probably looked pretty good.
Oh, come
so
on.
You are not even making sense, dude. Did your mom drop you on your head too many damn times when you were little?
You mentioned a 90-year-old woman being attacked. I haven't
you
seen a photograph of her. Maybe she was...
Our children are battling today with overweight and obesity, and you're encouraging them to be...
Are you trying to tell me, wait a second, I want to be clear on this. Are you trying to tell me you'd rather your kid cut a dashing figure and get molested or stink like an open grave and be safe?
Oh, that's not the choice.
Let's talk about this.
God.
So, you,
that's what you'd rather have.
That let's not bathe. Let's not brush our teeth. Let our teeth rot out of our mouth. And then when you get to a certain age, force you to take that weight off and be beautiful and everything. It's people like you that are giving our children bad ideas about their own images. Now you're thrown in there about pedophiles and jackasses like that.
You are trying.
And now you're bringing in our whole image thing?
Ma'am, I'm simply trying to make our children safe. And if you, let's take you for instance. Let's take you, you're a mother, you're a young lady, you sound like a young lady. I'm sure you're very attractive. You're out by yourself, and maybe your husband's too stupid to give you a cell phone. I don't know. I don't want to comment. But if you smell bad, and never mind.
You're not even, because...
I'm not even what?
Instead of teaching our children...
If you stunk,
you would have... arming our children with the knowledge.
Right, arming kids with knowledge is a very good point. We got to take a break. We have to take a break, Amy, but you made some really good points. And
I don't think she made good points. I'm talking about...
Phil Hendry.
Very unfair.